We're talking today with Dr. Katharina Manassas, who is a psychiatrist at the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto. She's also a professor of psychiatry at the University of Toronto. The topic today we're going to discuss is school refusal. Dr. Manassas, why do children sometimes refuse to go to school?
There are many reasons why children refuse to go to school. Some are anxiety related and some not. It's important to clarify when the child is calm if there's anything at school that happened that might be contributing to the problem, like bullying or humiliation by a teacher or academic problems. Overall, diagnostically though, anxiety disorders are probably the most common reason, and some children, for behavioral reasons, are truant from school. So those are common. In teens, depression also becomes a more common factor.
At what point does school refusal become a serious problem?
When it persists for several weeks in the absence of a medical illness that requires it, then it becomes an urgent problem. And I should clarify that nausea or tummy aches in the morning are usually due to anxiety. They're usually not a medical illness. So if you have a child who's avoiding school without being clearly medically ill for several weeks, then it's an urgent situation and it's important to return the child to school as soon as possible.
What are some of the consequences of prolonged school refusal?
Academic failure, isolation socially, and a loss of age-appropriate independence are the common consequences. Family interactions can also be altered in unhealthy ways. For example, when children stay at home to comfort or assist a parent who has some problems themselves, mentally or physically. Children and teens with prolonged school avoidance also become more vulnerable to mood disorders in the long run.
Should children be forced to go back to school?
In prepubertal children, returning them to school promptly after a few days or a few weeks, by being calm and firm and making it clear that school avoidance is not an option, can sometimes work. Yelling at the child, trying to coax them to go back, doesn't work, and adolescents usually can't be dragged back to school. In those prepubertal children, where you can be calm and firm and get them back quickly, it can work. Once it's been over a month or so, though, usually a more gradual approach is needed.
What are some ways to encourage school return when there's been a prolonged absence?
With prolonged absence, usually one needs to work with a professional to design a plan that child, parents, and school can all agree to. Usually this involves gradually increasing periods of time at or near the school building and eventually increasing periods of time in class with praise and positive reinforcement for progress with each step. Some other helpful ideas are having a staff person at school who can escort the child from the yard into the building, parents leaving quickly rather than hanging around the school too long. The child may benefit from designing an explanation for peers as to why he or she has been absent, so that's not so embarrassing. Having a plan for catching up academically. But in any case, one should pursue diligently getting the child back to school, even if there's going to be significant loss of academics. So, for example, it's not helpful to say, oh, well, we're in May already, so there's not much we can do for this year. Let's try again in September. Usually you still need to work on getting the child back.
Is the approach to school return different depending on a child's age?
In prepubertal children, usually you need cooperation between family and school, but the child's own level of motivation is not quite as critical. School return in adolescence, however, is rarely successful if the teen isn't somewhat motivated themselves. And depression is also more common in teens and may need treatment in addition to the school refusal.
So is therapy helpful for this problem? And if so, what type do you recommend?
Therapy is certainly helpful, usually behavioral or cognitive behavioral therapy. The emphasis usually needs to be on behavioral, though, at least initially. And I often find myself telling these youngsters, you will feel better once you do better, not the other way around. If the child is difficult to motivate, sometimes I work with a colleague so that one person can focus on teaching coping strategies, and the other colleague can work with the parents in the school to fine-tune the behavioral approach, kind of a good cop, bad cop system.
And how about medication? Is that helpful for this problem?
Yes. Particularly in anxiety-related school refusal, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs, have been found helpful in anxiety disorders, and that includes anxiety disorders that affect school attendance. They do work best in combination with a behavioral or cognitive behavioral therapy. And the other important thing is not to wait for the medication to work before trying to take steps towards school return.
Ah, good. What can the school do to be helpful while a child is getting therapy or medication?
One of the most helpful things is to remain calm and patient with the child and family. These cases can be very frustrating for teachers and principals, and the frustration just exacerbates the child's anxiety. So if they can take a calm, thoughtful approach, that's very helpful. Also, being flexible in their approach to the child's school return can be very helpful. So allowing, for example, for some variation in the length of the school day that the child attends, and having a quiet place where the child can remain in the building when they're not yet ready to be right in the classroom. Providing a staff person who can support the child when they're anxious, and also meet the child in the schoolyard to ensure that they get into the building, can also be helpful. And of course, flexibility around academic expectations, lots of positives for improvements, not just academic improvements, but attendance improvements. These are all helpful. Home instruction is generally not so helpful, as it can reduce the motivation to get back to school, but sometimes it can be helpful once the child is already attending for part of the day.
And I'm sure there's some common obstacles to school return. How do you address those?
The main obstacle is usually that old habits die hard. And once avoidance has been prolonged for a number of months, school avoidance becomes a lifestyle, which is not easy for the child or family to change. So the benefits of attendance versus non-attendance then may need to be explored using motivational interviewing techniques with child or parent or both. And family dynamics that contribute to non-attendance may also need to be addressed in family therapy.
Anything else on this topic that you'd like to add?
One thing is that people sometimes think a fresh start at a new school is going to fix the problem. And I'd be cautious about that. Certainly, if the school environment is toxic, for example, there's severe bullying, then a switch may be in order. But remember that a change of any kind increases anxiety in children, and that includes a school change. So starting fresh is not always the best solution. Overall, though, I would say that the take-home message is children need to be returned to school as quickly as possible, but if school avoidance is prolonged, then work patiently with a team of school and mental health professionals that you trust. Expect it to go two steps forward and one step back, but you can get improvements in the long run and get the child back to a healthier course of development.
That's great. Thanks so much, Dr. Katharina Manassas. And this is Jean Kaplan-Tycro for ADAA.